Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And now, Natalie Mullinex.
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to be here this week and spend this next hour with you. And we have a contributing guest that's been on many times that I think the world of. He's like the king in this industry of reverse mortgages. I don't know anybody, and I know a lot of people, especially in the real estate world, that knows more about reverse mortgages than Steve Sloss, who's coming on. I am in Las Vegas. My mother lives out here, and I'm so happy to get back on planes again. I put my heart out to everybody and prayers and sympathy for what so many have gone through in the last almost 2 years with COVID. It's just incredible. I don't know how the time's gone by, and I hope everybody out there that's listening right now is okay making it through. It's definitely been a time for, it's been an eye-opener. I think a lot of people have reevaluated life and what's going on and see what's really important. Steve Sless is a proud father, husband, speaker, and business leader. He's an industry veteran spending the past over decade focused on growing multiple national reverse mortgage platforms. Passionate about living a life of purpose by affecting change in the lives of people, he has long become committed to his personal and professional growth and to inspiring others on a similar journey. Serving is what it's all about. Steve has built a reputation as a skilled communicator and industry leader through his speaking engagements in the national media. His passion, experience, and expertise and dynamic personality, which you'll hear, electrifies audiences and inspires people to take action. He's a master at making complex concepts simple and easy to understand. His presentations are tantalizing, powerful, and unmatched in their ability to have an immediate impact. He cares about people, showing them how to utilize a reverse mortgage to stay in their home, have money for travel or their desires, and live in peace. A lot has changed in that industry. They've changed dramatically. When you go back, and I'm an old-timer, when you go back and think of the 80s and the 90s, it's night and day. And even has changed so much in the last 10 years, which Steve will fill us in on. So, without further ado, I'd like to welcome Steve. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Natalie, my friend. Great to be with you. Thank you so much for having me back on.
Oh, I just love having you on. We got to always keep everybody updated, and you're the man to talk about what is going on. There's so much news right now and so much influx, and everything's thrown at people from so many different directions that it's so nice to be able to simplify and say, this is the real deal. This is what's happening with the reverse mortgages. This is what's happening. So take it away. I haven't been updated on it either in a little while.
Yeah. No, I can't even remember the last time I was on, but it feels like it was at least a year ago or so. And a lot has changed in the world of reverse mortgages. We've been talking, Natalie, I think the first show that you and I did together was maybe 2014 or 15, and the industry, reverse mortgage industry, was really starting to change at that point, and boy, has it evolved since then. I think the biggest change, Natalie, is folks are finally understanding the concept of utilizing what is, in most cases, their largest asset, and that is the equity that they have built up in their home. And combining that asset with their other retirement assets, 401ks, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, annuities, you name it. And they're now utilizing all of their assets to form a well-rounded, comprehensive retirement income strategy. And so no longer are folks turning to reverse mortgages when they're out of money. That was one of the – when you and I first started talking, they were still kind of used as loans of last resort, right? If you were out of money, if you had already exhausted your retirement funds, you would turn to the equity in your home. Now folks are taking reverse mortgages proactively instead of reactively. And I think that has been the biggest change and shift in the industry over the past, you know, 5, 6, 10 years.
It's amazing, you know, it takes the fear out of things, right? The fear, because I think a lot of people for years are like, oh, no, I can't touch that because that's my only asset, you know, and I'm afraid, you know, I want to keep my house, I want to do this. And it's educating people to take the fear away. You know, money's always been, an issue for many, where they think, well, they have to scramble, they have to do this. And it's like they're having a scarcity mindset, holding on to it without realizing with this education what you can do to actually grow it, work with it, and still be safe, right? Because, you know, there's a lot of money. You look at the Depression, you look at, you know, I mean, we're talking 1929, people learned from their families what happened, and then many were, you know, there's still people alive that went through it, most, you know, and then they taught their kids. And you just look, and you go fast forward, and we see, you know, the recent, we said 1989, I think it was around the late 80s. Then we've got, you know, the internet boom and crash, kind of, so to speak, but not now. And then we have 2008. But I'm just saying, there's been so much fear instilled in people, and this takes away the fear. Knowledge is power. So I just wanted to interject that because I really, you know, there's so much, and it gives people so much peace when they go, money's not an issue in my life anymore. I can do this. I can do that, right? I think that's the biggest – it's a huge thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, our first and foremost, our job is to educate and to empower for our clients and their families and loved ones to make the best decision for themselves. And oftentimes, look, a reverse mortgage isn't the best decision. And we, you know, are confident enough, you know, in our ability to – educate them that, look, if it's just not the right fit, then it's not the right fit. And we will certainly be the first ones to advise them so. You know, suitability is everything for us. The first question we ask the client when they come to us for a reverse mortgage is, how long are you looking to live in the house for? And if that answer is any less than 3 to 5 years, a reverse mortgage probably isn't the best solution for you. A reverse mortgage is a long-term solution to creating a better retirement by utilizing all of your assets. And you know, look, so, Natalie, 74% of America right now falls short of their retirement income needs by the age of 62. However, there is $9.5 trillion of untapped housing wealth in the homes of folks 62 and older.
Really?
And so what does that tell
wow.
you? Right, if 74% are falling short of their retirement income needs by age 62,
wow.
those same folks are sitting on $9.5 trillion in housing wealth.
Wow.
It means that housing wealth needs to be a part of the equation.
And it tells you that they're probably they don't understand. That's why, you know. And then you get scammers out there now too. I'm just being, you know, I'm just putting it all out there. And people are scared, you know, they're afraid. So for the people, you're such an expert. You are the king of this reverse mortgages, in my opinion. For people that are listening, we have lots of agents and brokers listen, but we have the general public as well. Tell us like what a reverse mortgage is and the steps, you know, so people that aren't sure what it is know.
Yeah, it's quite simple. A reverse mortgage is a loan. It's a mortgage loan, and it's designed for folks that are nowadays 55 plus, and we'll get to that. That's a big change.
What? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
We'll get to that change in a moment.
Oh, my gosh.
Reverse mortgage. It's a loan that allows you to borrow a portion of your home equity and take that home equity in a variety of ways. And so – there's multiple payout options, the first of which is a 10-year payment, where we can say, here's how much money you qualify for. You can take that money and take it for, you know, in equal distribution for the rest of your life. You can also take it in a term where we send you a check for a fixed period of time. You can take it out in a line of credit. You can also take it out in a lump sum, or you can combine payout options to accommodate your lifestyle needs, both short-term and long-term. The biggest difference, Natalie, between a reverse mortgage and any other type of mortgage is, number one, these loans are federally insured. They can never be suspended, frozen, or reduced regardless of market conditions. But then also, they have flexible repayment options. There is no mandatory monthly mortgage payment. However, a borrower can choose to make monthly payments of any denomination that they want to at any given time during the point where they have their reverse mortgage. But they are not required to make a monthly mortgage payment. And so that provides them with flexibility and liquidity and accessibility to funds that they don't have to pay back as long as they live in the home and occupy the home as their primary residence.
So let me step for a second. Years ago, I mean, I'm saying, you know, I'm ancient and but boy, did it go by fast. Reverse mortgages still have negative amortization, correct? They do, but they're not. And that's what you mean. So, like back in the 80s, 90s, many times people owed way more than they took or borrowed. But then that happens with mortgages anyhow. When you buy a house and you look at your amortization schedule, you're going to pay way more for that house than what you borrowed, right? That's automatic. So, so with the negative amortization, can you explain what that is a little bit, and then chunk it through? We'll see how that affects what we're doing. And I guess the low interest rates right now make this like such a game changer as well, right?
Sure. Yeah, they really do. Interest rates are lower than 3% right now on most reverse mortgage loans. And so you're able to borrow a good portion of your home equity at a very low interest rate. And that, Natalie, is the concept of leverage, right? And oftentimes you need to be able to use leverage. You know, not all debt is bad debt. You know, if you can borrow money,
right,
and borrow that money at a very low interest rate, and that borrowing of money helps you to create a better retirement lifestyle, helps you to fund long-term care, helps you to retrofit the home or just increase monthly cash flow, that borrowing of money at a very low interest rate opens up a variety of opportunities for you to live a better retirement. You asked about negative amortization, so let's get into that for a few moments. So reverse mortgages, like I mentioned, have flexible repayment options. So the borrower, the person taking out the reverse mortgage, can choose if they want to make a monthly payment and treat their reverse mortgage as a traditional loan. They can forego making monthly mortgage payments and defer payback until they leave the home. So if let's say they choose the second option, they're going to defer payback until they leave the home. Every month that you're not making a monthly mortgage payment, your balance is going to increase each month. And that is
right,
going to be by compounding interest. And so if you start out with a balance of $200,000 and you forego making payments for 10 years, that $200,000 may wind up being $250,000. It may wind up being $275,000. So that is what negative amortization means, meaning instead of paying your balance down, if you choose to forego making monthly payments, that would-be payment each month is added to the balance of the loan, and that loan becomes due and payable when you permanently leave the home.
Let me stop right there. That's a perfect point. So if they're doing negative amortization, so if they don't make any payments, and you said it's compounding interest, I don't know if it's daily, yearly, what it is, because I want to just chunk it into bits and pieces, because a lot of people don't understand the bits and pieces of it. If it's compounding interest and they don't make a payment, then, of course, like, say, $200,000 could end up being $250,000, $275,000, whatever it is. Say they do make payments, is it going to go down in the same portion as it would if they had just a regular mortgage? I totally believe in the reverse mortgages. I'm just wanting people to understand the differences on the amounts, probably, approximately, not a definite. Is it going to, like, if they made those payments, would it be like, but not really?
Not only, Natalie, does
that make sense?
Down, but absolutely, it does. It does. I have a pretty good way of explaining this. I try to make sure that when I'm explaining things, I'm explaining them in a manner that everybody can understand, right? So
you're amazing. And you know me, I chunk in because we're doing it. Questions. You know me, I'll throw in the questions.
No, that's
not.
So you can choose to make a monthly payment anytime you wish. If you make that monthly payment, you can not only pay down your balance of the loan, but that money that you pay in can also go into a line of credit, right? And so in the future, if you need access to those funds, let's say yeah, I want to make a monthly mortgage payment, and I'm going to do so until I no longer can do so any longer. That money that you paid in, yes, it's brought your balance down, but it's also put money into a line of credit. And so you can go back in and access the money that you paid in. Right. Now, this is where the flexibility of reverse mortgages, Natalie, really comes into play. You can pay interest only every month and keep your balance the same.
Okay.
You can pay principal and interest and bring your balance down, or you can pay nothing and the balance goes up. It really depends, Natalie, on what works for you. And so what we ask off the bat is, what are your goals? Right. We're finding
right now that most folks
are underprepared. They're underprepared for long-term care.
We
have a partnership with the Certified Long-Term Care Organization. I'm actually certified in long-term care as well.
Really?
And a lot of times we're helping our clients to navigate long-term care. What are your potential care needs? Is this home a home that's conducive to meet your lifestyle needs as you're growing older and you're aging in place? And so we're helping to explain this because that's going to depend, you know, the question of, do I make a payment? Do I not make a payment? It really comes down to, at the end of the day, cash flow. And cash flow is being, you know, oftentimes foregoing making a monthly mortgage payment is going to provide them with additional cash flow. So long as they understand, of course, that yes, your balance is going to increase. Now, you and I have done plenty of these shows, Natalie, and we've talked about the insurance aspect on reverse mortgages. Reverse mortgages are non-recourse loans. So let's say you forego making mortgage payments. The housing market takes a turn for the worse 5 years, 10 years down the road, and you get into a position where you owe more on your reverse mortgage than the value of your home at the time that you pass away. Your heirs will not be responsible to come out of pocket to pay off that debt. They will then have
the
option.
Which is fantastic.
So they can buy the house for 95% of the appraised value at that time, or if it's upside down, they just walk away. And the FHA insurance, which is the FHA insures, I would say, 95% of all reverse mortgages on the market today, the FHA insurance would satisfy that overage, that debt, that gap, and your heirs would walk away free and clear.
I just love this. It's so amazing how wonderful these programs are now, you know, how much they're just really utilizing it and making sense. So the non-recourse part, and you're saying they're federally insured, is that basically just the ones that are under FHA, or does it include conventional reverse mortgages?
So there's a few different types of reverse mortgages. There are the FHA, government-insured reverse mortgages. I would say 95% of all reverse mortgages taken out today are FHA-insured loans. There's also now proprietary reverse mortgages, jumbo reverse mortgages, where if you have a home in excess of the FHA lending limit, which is $865,000 and some change,
you may look at
a jumbo reverse mortgage. Yeah. Yeah.
It depends on what, what we do, you know, in our real estate world, the FHA limit is different in everywhere. It's different in counties. It's different in states. You know what I mean? So the amounts vary by where you live based on, of course, they look at market data. So when you say $865,000, is that just in Baltimore? Is that across the board? I know, and I want to put this out there to let everybody know.
Well, FHA has a national reverse mortgage lending limit. So no matter what state, no matter what part of the country you're in,
the lending limit
goes up to 865.
That's amazing because it's not like that in the real estate world. You know, if you're getting a regular FHA loan, for example, in Hawaii, you could get, you know, up past that amount. There's some counties in these states where it might be $400,000, you know, it just depends. So that's amazing how they structure that. I guess they're figuring because on a reverse mortgage, it's going to be about 50% of the equity, so they feel pretty safe, right? I think that's probably where they put that number, and that's fantastic. I do want to also mention that Steve, he'll give his contact information a few times through the show. Anybody, of course, that wants to find him can contact us at realityuniversal.com. We'll put you in touch. But Steve can actually put you in touch with people nationwide, right, Steve, to be able to help. With reverse mortgages.
Yeah. We have offices in 49 of 50 states, everywhere except for New York. We have local offices you know, so yeah, anywhere that you are within the United States, including Hawaii, we have a very strong team in Hawaii as well that will actually come out and visit with you in person, you know, to make sure that you are getting the best possible customer service level that we can provide to you.
Wow, that's fantastic, and it really makes it, that's fantastic, because there's still a wow. Okay, so go ahead. I'm chiming in. I know it's so different now. When we're doing the show, and you used to come on 3-4 times a year, and with COVID and all the changes, it's been a while. I know I'm interjecting on questions as far as, you know, getting your. It's amazing, and I know that's pulling us on to different areas, which is perfect though, because these are the type of questions that all that, you know, and you know what everybody asks. So I just want to dig. I feel like a kid at Christmas because they're doing so many changes, and this is so amazing. And you know, you've got this stigma from the old timers thinking, no, don't do that. And this is amazing. It's so cool. Okay. So let me see where we were.
Reverse mortgages really have gone mainstream over the past few years, especially. You know, I think what COVID taught so many people was planning is really important. And there was a lot of folks that were underprepared, not only for a pandemic, but, you know, any kind of downturn in the economy or financial implications of not really having a very strong financial plan. You know, the planning for long-term care. We are involved in conversations every day to just help folks protect themselves for the uncertainty that is retirement, number one, but also the uncertainty that is long-term care. Right, the average healthy American couple is going to pay $350,000 care needs in retirement. Where does that money come from? Oftentimes, it comes from the house.
The Steve, my mother, perfect example, is still young in my opinion, because, you know, well, she'll be 82 in January, and she didn't have any long-term care at all. And she started showing signs of dementia about 5-6 years ago. In the last 4 years, it's been, you know, which is sad because they forget to pay bills. They forget to, you know, when somebody, these things happen, it's really difficult. And no long-term care, everything's been out of pocket. And it's quite expensive, extremely expensive, right? We're talking monthly costs are enormous, because people get to a point where they, even though they may remember, you know, they can't take care of themselves fully 100%, and it's impossible for the families to do it. One person, two people, they see them get exhausted. Many times you see caregivers pass away before the person with just that particular illness, because their bodies, like my mother's body, she's totally healthy, no, not even high blood pressure, no diabetes, nothing at all. It's just strictly the dementia at this point, you know, and it's a very sad progressing situation, and people are living longer these days. And when it's all out of pocket, where do you, you know, it does come from the house, and it's not an easy situation. And I think this planning is, and then there's so many other things that come up. So I just wanted to put that out there, because I know I just applied for long-term care at my age because I wasn't thinking about it years ago. And I guess it's better to apply for that when you're young, right? A growing situation. So when you know all the stats are going on, what are they life expectancy nowadays?
That's changing all the time. I did a show as a national media show a few months back, and they had a representative from the Weizmann Institute in Israel. They're the leaders in research and development for, you know, all kinds of different longevity related topics, and they're estimating within the next 20 years, the average lifespan for just the average healthy American is going to be over 100 years old. You know,
really?
Just the innovations in medicines, the cancer researches that are out there, the diabetes research that's out there. There is so much innovation on the medical side with, you know, just and there's a lot more focus in preventative, you know, disease prevention nowadays. I mean, I think just there's and as more research comes out and as more information comes out, I think the average lifespan of you know, folks that live in America is only going to go up. And, you know, look, Natalie, the biggest risk in retirement is longevity, right? Because it's an unknown. How do we know how much money we need in retirement? How do we know money we can safely pool from our investment portfolios if we don't know how long we're going to live, right? Does that money need
exactly.
to last until you're 90? Does that money need to last until you're 110? And so it's important, one, to have an advisor, right? And I'm not a financial advisor, but I always recommend, look, if you don't have an advisor, no matter how much money you have, go out and get yourself a really great financial advisor.
How do you find I trust you. You're saying, but how do you know who to go to? Because there's so many franchises around the country. I mean, and some people are listening in other parts of the world, but we're focusing mainly on the U.S. right now. With us, but there's so many franchises, and I've had situations where I've talked to people, and some of them are my friends, and I'll ask questions that they should know. You know, it'd be like questions I should know in the real estate industry, right? And they don't always know, and they're like going, "Oh my gosh, I'm not sure I'm comfortable giving that person my money." Like, how do you know? I trust you, you know, so
well,
I'll have to get somewhere. But
one, I
but
think
for somebody just listening.
We've developed relationships and we have vetted financial advisors, long-term care insurance agents, attorneys. We have a network of referral partners that we don't get any kickback whatsoever. There's no monetary incentive for us referring you to anybody, but we have developed and cultivated a pretty healthy roster of professionals that we're happy to refer you to. So whether you need a financial advisor or, again, you know, a divorce attorney, a divorce financial analyst, that's a whole other topic that we'll tackle. Long-term care, reach out to us and our team will happily make a referral. And I would say one thing to look at when you're entertaining hiring a financial advisor, there are investment advisors and those are folks that just move money, right? They're investing your money. They are not helping you holistically plan for retirement. And it really depends on what you're looking for. If you have a lot of money and you're looking to double, triple, quadruple that money, you want to reach out to somebody that's really good with investments. If you want somebody that's going to help you plan for retirement, holistically and comprehensively plan for retirement, that's a different crop of financial advisor. Most of those financial advisors are going to be fee-based. So it doesn't matter how much money you have. You know, I would stay away from the people that have minimums, right? You have to have $1 million. Like, why? Most people don't have $1 million. Go to somebody, pay them a fee. They're going to treat you, you know, no differently than they're going to treat a client that has $10 million in assets.
Would you stay away from commission-based? Or would you stay away from commission?
Not always.
Okay.
Not always. Not all commissions, bad commission. Look, I mean, I if we're going to close a reverse mortgage, we're going to make a commission, you know, just our way of keeping the lights on while we help folks. So, you know.
Right, with us in the business, too. We do referrals all the time. Okay.
That just means that you're helping people. So, I would lean more towards a fee-based advisor and do your research, you know, and make sure that you're looking at reviews. You know, nowadays it's pretty easy to find information on folks. Just Google. and you'll find a lot of information that you need to know to make a well-informed decision.
Okay, that's beautiful because that's beautiful. Yeah. So on the long term, on the reverse mortgages, like tell us, is it still 50% of your equity? Is that pretty much how it works? 50% of your equity.
Roughly 50% of the equity. You know, the amount that you qualify for depends on one, the value of your home, two, prevailing interest rates, and three, the age of the youngest borrower. So based on the age of the youngest borrower, interest rates, and the value of your home, we're going to be able to say, here's how much money you qualify for. Roughly, it's going to be about 50%. If you're older, if you're in your 80s or 90s, you're going to be able to qualify for much more than 50%. Whereas if you're, you know, in your early 60s, it's going to be closer to that 50% loan-to-value mark.
Oh, okay. So what about when you said people in the house, like borrowing, what if you have a whole family, but there's, you know, somebody in the family that's over 62, and you mentioned 55 before, but we'll get into that later. But what's, is that going to make a difference? It doesn't mean your whole family, right? I mean.
So we're talking about borrowers on the loan, right? So it's okay to have family live there.
Okay.
There's a calculation that we do. It's an income calculation. So we do need to know how many people occupy the home, how many people live in the home. But only we're talking about borrowers, right? Only the borrowers will go on the loan. So
why do you need to know how many people live in the home? Why do you need to know that if you're only talking about borrowers? I'm asking.
So there's a income calculation that we need to do that takes into consideration how many people live in the home, because it comes down to how much income do you have coming in? How many people are you supporting in the home, right? So we have a data collection,
okay,
where we need to know the square footage of the home, the geographic region in the country that you live in, how much your taxes and insurance are, and how many,
okay,
people live in the home. And that's one of the ways that we determine income qualification more specifically.
Got it. Excellent. Wow. I love it. So is the interest rate always going to be an adjustable rate, or is there any way to do fixed rates?
Yeah, there's fixed and adjustable. The fixed rates are, again, very low right now, you know, in the low to mid threes. The adjustable rate loans are going to give you more options, right? So if you want to take out the money that you qualify for in a variety of ways, that would need to be a adjustable rate loan. A fixed rate loan, we're going to give you a lump sum of money, and that lump sum is it. Typically, you're going to qualify for less money on a fixed rate loan than you would on an adjustable rate loan. So, and that really just depends on, look, it's the risk that the lender is taking on, right? We're going to give you a fixed rate. We're going to,
exactly,
offer you a little bit less money and less options because there's more risk in giving you that fixed rate, where the adjustable rates are going to give the borrower far greater options when it comes to how to take the money.
Is there the option, I know it depends on different loans with regular real estate, depending on what you're doing. Is there an option if you take an adjustable to convert it during a certain period of time to a fixed if the rates start going up a lot? Or if you take an adjustable, are you in with an adjustable till the end?
Yeah, you can't convert it. Now you can refinance it. And over the past couple,
okay,
of years, we have helped a lot of folks that have had reverse mortgages for quite some time. And the value of their home has gone up. Interest rates have come down. They're able to go in and refinance their reverse mortgage, update their reverse mortgage, one, to lower the rate, and two, to take advantage of today's market value instead of the market value that was the value when they took out the reverse mortgage. And in some cases, these are folks that took out the reverse mortgage 5-6 years ago. Natalie, you know better,
wow,
than anybody. Look at what the housing market,
wow,
has done, you know.
Yeah.
So we're able to come back in and lend on today's value versus the value of the past.
Beautiful. I love it. When you're also about equity lines, can they use that? Now, how does that pass on with the kids, or how do the equity lines work with a reverse,
yeah,
mortgage?
Yeah, so one of the ways to access your funds with a reverse mortgage is by taking out a reverse mortgage line of credit, very similar to a HELOC. However, the big difference, number one, is if you go to your bank and you take out a HELOC, well, then you have a monthly payment to begin paying next month. A reverse mortgage, you can take out that same HELOC and not have that requirement of having to make a monthly mortgage payment every month. Another great benefit to a reverse mortgage line of credit instead of a traditional home equity line of credit, or HELOC as we call them in the industry, is reverse mortgage line of credits are federally insured. Think back, Natalie, to 2008 to 2010, when the last economic downturn, you had a lot of retirees that had big home equity credit lines, $200,000, $300,000, $500,000,
right,
we saw in some cases, where the bank said, you know what, you know, no longer are we going to make that money accessible to you. And in fact,
exactly,
we're going to call due the loan that you already have taken out. And
that was
crazy, detrimental to a lot of folks' retirement plans. That cannot
that
happen
crazy.
With a reverse mortgage.
Yeah.
And now,
okay, so that
only,
line of credit,
not only,
wow.
Not only is it federally insured, but you're also locking in today's value. So if you take out a reverse mortgage line of credit and your home value is worth $300,000 today, you know, you and I are intimately in this housing market. We see it. We see the writing on the wall.
Right.
Maybe home values don't go backwards, but they're going to level off. And in some,
absolutely,
areas of the country, it's likely that the values will start to go down a little bit. And I don't
it
think
will.
We're going to have,
yep,
an 08, 09. I don't think we're in that uncharted water that we were in back then. But you can borrow off of today's value And if the value of your home goes down, your loan is still based off of today's value and is federally insured.
So this is really important. Okay, so on the this is super important. So say on the equity line, say you have a $300,000. Just say it's three. You're able to say you have $300,000. Say you have an equity line of $100,000, right, on your home. And back in 2008, it was crazy what they were doing. I know there's one company, I won't mention the name, which is an excellent company as far as teaching you how to manage your bills and budget, et cetera. They were teaching people to take out equity lines of credit and then pay your bills through your equity line because the interest rate was much lower than for people, and don't get credit cards like with high interest because you can just pay everything out of your equity line. And then exactly what happened in 2008 and 2009, banks were coming in saying, oh, we're just, you know, your equity line now is just 100. We're going to lower it to 20,000, you know, or whatever. And all of a sudden,
right,
they were in pickles with their budgeting and everything. And so you're saying that this equity line under a reverse mortgage legally cannot, you can't come in later if the market goes to pot and say, you know, your equity line now is lowered? Because I would think most of them could. I mean, just from a sign of the time.
Cannot be suspended,
wow,
reduced, or frozen, regardless of market,
really,
conditions, regardless of interest rates. They are federally,
really,
insured loans. So you literally,
wow,
have the power, Natalie, to borrow on today's,
wow,
home value. And again,
that's
if that value goes down, you're insulated.
Uh-huh.
And so there's a lot of people racing to take out these reverse mortgage credit lines right now just for that. They don't need,
oh my,
the money,
gosh,
right now. They don't need cash right this moment, but they're going to take it out. They're going to set it up. They're going to park that
That's
credit
beautiful.
Line. It's there. It's a standby bucket of money. By the way, the credit line has a guaranteed rate of growth. So think of that as a credit
that,
card.
Really? So, yeah,
so
I mean, it's amazing.
Think,
so
think of the rate of growth, Natalie, as
amazing.
A credit card. We're going to
okay.
say, let's just throw out $100,000. You have the ability
okay.
to borrow up to $100,000 in a line of credit. The unused
okay.
portion of that line of credit has a growth rate attached to it. The growth rate is 0.5% over the loan's interest rate. So if the interest rates today are 3, your line
wow.
of credit is going to grow by 3.5%, and that is guaranteed growth. Again, can never
That's
be suspended,
amazing.
Reduced, or frozen.
That is so unbelievably amazing. So with that line of credit, does the original loan, the reverse mortgage loan, do they have to agree to – I'm just asking questions because I believe in every step of it. So do they have to start off with an adjustable rate mortgage, or could they do a fixed rate mortgage and still get the equity line of credit?
The line of credit is only available with the adjustable rate option.
Okay.
The fixed rate. If you
okay,
take out a reverse mortgage and you opt for a fixed rate, great. We can give you the fixed rate, no problem. At that point, any money that you have available, you would need to take all in one lump sum. Now, there's
okay.
a lot of people nationally
okay.
that they don't qualify for any money, right? They take out a reverse mortgage.
That was my next question. Yeah.
So they want to pay off and replace their current traditional loan with a reverse mortgage, so it's going to provide them with greater flexibility
wow.
as they age in place. And at that point, it doesn't matter whether you take a fixed rate or a variable rate. You know, I would say
well, no, it's
fixed
great.
Rate is probably the better option.
Wow. Well, you're going to tell them each and your people, your advisors and everything would tell them specifically for their situation with their goals, et cetera. But I remember years back on one of the shows, one of the benefits that has changed and that really protects people is that years ago, anybody could get it and it wasn't based on income or credit. And then they tightened it some so that people didn't, you know, and then made sure taxes and insurance were paid, et cetera. So right now, is it still based on the amount they can get? Does income still come into play because they, or is it basically just on the 50%, approximately 50% equity?
Yeah, I'm
just
glad you asked that question.
The reverse mortgage at all.
Let's just kind of rewind and explain how the reverse mortgage market has changed so much, really since 2015.
Okay.
So prior to 2015, it was April 2015. If you wanted a reverse mortgage, you could basically get a reverse mortgage if you were 62, you had at that point, you know, 30 or 40% equity in your home, and literally, Natalie, you had a pulse. That was the only qualifications.
Wow.
You had to be alive, you had to be 62 or older, and you had to have the equity to qualify. And what happened was you had a lot of folks turning to reverse mortgages and using them in a manner that they were never really created for. Reverse mortgages were never created to be a loan of last resort. However, most people thought, well, I'm going to exhaust my retirement income, and then I will take out the money in my home. And you had a lot of people that were already out of money. They didn't have any financial cushion. They were using the reverse mortgage reactively instead of proactively. Well, what happened was they took out the reverse mortgage, they exhausted those funds, and they couldn't meet the basic qualifications of the reverse mortgage loan, which are you have to pay your property taxes, you have to pay your homeowner's insurance, and you have to maintain the home. It's your home. You still remember, you still own the home. So you got to pay taxes.
Exactly.
You got to pay insurance, and you got to maintain and upkeep the home. Well, folks that were taking the loan reactively were using all that money. And when they were broke again, they failed to meet the obligations of the loan. Well, Natalie, it doesn't matter if you have a reverse mortgage, a traditional mortgage, or even no mortgage at all. If you fail to meet the basic obligations of owning a home, not just by having a reverse mortgage, but if you don't pay your taxes and you don't pay your insurance, the municipality, the government, is gonna foreclose on you. And that's what happened.
Right.
There was a lot of people that unfortunately had reverse mortgages. They were foreclosed on. And when the government kind of got wind of what was happening, they made some pretty drastic changes where since April of 2015, now you have to show that you have the ability and the willingness, Natalie, to meet the obligations of the loan. We have to prove that you have enough income where if you use and exhaust all your reverse mortgage funds, you still have enough guaranteed income coming in each month to pay your taxes, to pay the insurance, and to maintain the home. We also need to make sure that you have good credit. You have to show and prove that over the years you have shown the ability and the willingness to meet your obligations, not just the obligations of being in the reverse loan, but your credit obligations to other creditors.
Right.
And so it did tighten the pool of who could qualify for a loan. But look, if you're broke, I would say a reverse mortgage is not for you. If you don't have a cushion to fall back on, a reverse mortgage is not for you. What may be better is to sell the home, take out the equity, and go rent, right? And not have the obligations and the financial responsibility of maintaining a home. There's a lot that comes with home ownership. Not just paying your bills, but making sure that house is in working order. Absolutely.
Today's reverse
mortgage borrower, Natalie, is a proactive borrower, not a reactive borrower. They realize that, hey, you know what? Majority of my wealth is in my home. And doesn't it just make too much sense? Doesn't it make sense to incorporate all of my assets and to combine them into one asset to fund a more comfortable retirement? And so you don't have folks turning to reverse mortgages reactively anymore. You now have people understanding how to leverage their home equity and how to create a better retirement. And I know a lot of listeners are here saying, gosh, it just sounds too good to be true. Look, these are loans. These are mortgage loans. They have an interest rate, right? We, as the lender, will charge you a fee to originate your loan. We're not working for free. It's not too good to be true. You're still paying back the loan. The difference is you're not paying it back each month. You're paying it back when you pass away or leave the home. And then at that point, the amount of money that you borrowed plus interest gets paid back.
And it sounds, you're really doing a lot of the planning and education and checking their goals out. So there's a whole system in place with what you're doing. To just like you said, there's some people you're going to say don't do it, and it's amazing. Would you believe we have 15 minutes left? And I know I pull us in different directions with my questions, and it's amazing. So I want to ask a quick question about if somebody wants to purchase, and then just let you roll with the next 15, 10 minutes because we're almost there.
Sure.
So if somebody
What's
wants
the question?
To buy a home
purchase?
Using a reverse mortgage, but the other way around.
Yeah.
Like you said, if they sell their home and then they're going to buy something else, go ahead.
Well, most folks don't even realize that you can use a reverse mortgage loan to buy a house. That was never an option until 2009. So in 2009, but prior to 2009, you had to first buy the house, then turn around and take out a reverse mortgage, and that would incur two sets of closing costs. You just paid closing costs to buy the house. Now, if I want to take out a reverse mortgage, you're refinancing and you're paying another set of closing costs on the reverse mortgage. Well, in 2009, it was the HECM for purchase, the home equity conversion mortgage. HECM is the acronym, or the slang term, of course, is reverse mortgage. That's how we all know the loan type.
Right.
You can take out a reverse mortgage for purchase where you can buy the home and take out a reverse mortgage in one single transaction. So you're basically putting down 50% of the purchase price. And the other 50%, Natalie, is covered by the reverse mortgage. So you can buy a $400,000 home. You can put down $200,000. The other $200,000 is covered through the reverse mortgage program. And now you're in this $400,000 home. You came out of pocket with $200,000, and you have the option to make payments or to defer payback until you leave the home.
That's perfect. So let me – quick question, just and then I want you to – the so say somebody right now doesn't have good credit, because we run into so many people that – I mean, they should have good credit, all kinds of – but life happens and different changes, and I know a lot of the crediting thing goes by scores, where in the old days, underwriters would look at a situation and say, oh, your credit was perfect all these years, and somebody had a terrible accident, all these hospital bills or bankruptcy, you know, for good reasons that they were out of their control, and they would still get loans. Nowadays, like in unless somebody's doing a hard money loan or there's different types of situations going on, most of the lenders are going by credit scores, which is really, I don't totally agree with it. I understand the simplicity, but I'm old school. So say somebody right now is listening to this and they go, okay, my credit's not perfect because blah, 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 this happened. But I have I can sell my house and I can go pay cash for that other house. So say they're going to, you know, they've got the equity, they're selling it, and what they want to buy is going to be maybe half the cost. You know, they're downsizing. So they do have that cash. Could they still get an reverse mortgage at that point, or they really couldn't because they had some credit issues? I'm just looking at to buy. You know, when they buy, they say, here, because then it wouldn't be buying it with the cash, right? It would be buying it, like, you know what I mean? If it's structured ahead of time before you're buying.
So I think let's rewind and address both parts of the question. So part number one regarding credit, you do have to meet the basic credit requirements. Now these are not credit score driven loans. You don't need to have a 620 score or a 700 score. They're not credit score driven. In fact, a lot of our clients today have scores in the 500s. But you do have to have you do have to have a relatively clean 24-month credit history. So we're going to look at, hey, are there any lates on your credit? If there are lates, we need to document what those lates are and why they're there. And maybe there's a good reason. Maybe COVID, maybe medical reasons. Maybe there was some sort of medical diagnosis. Maybe a spouse passed away and you just had trouble, you know, picking up the pieces and moving on. As long as we can document why the lates are there and paint a clear picture for the underwriter as to how you're going to overcome, you know, the credit woes from the past and move forward in this loan and meet the eligibility and meet the qualifications, we can still get you approved. We just have to be able to document why the lates happened, especially if there's a trend of lates. We have to really have a good reason as to why that trend
makes
of
sense.
Lates happened. Maybe we need to wait a little bit and wait until you can clean your credit up a little bit. The second part of that question is regarding the down payment. We have a lot of would-be cash borrowers coming to us because they were referred to us by their financial advisor or their realtor, where they have the money. We just had a client that bought a $600,000 new construction home in a beautiful 55-plus community in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. Beautiful community. They got all the amenities that they ever wanted that they never thought that they could afford. They only had $400,000 is a lot of money. They sold their home.
Right.
They walked away with $400,000 in cash. Their thought was, let's just go find a $400,000 home, buy it for cash, and be done. And then they looked at this community, and they said, boy, we worked our whole life to retire, and gosh, wouldn't it be nice to just have the home that we've always dreamed of but we never thought we could get? And they actually bought a home with all the bells and whistles, all the amenities. It was new construction. They customized this home. They wound up buying a home that was closer to $600,000. They put down $300,000 of the $400,000 in cash that they were going to spend on the home. they added $100,000 to their retirement portfolio, and they bought a $100,000 home, putting down $300,000 in cash. They will never make a payment as long as they live in that home.
That's amazing.
I mean, how powerful is that?
That is amazing. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. That's amazing. Very powerful. And that's beautiful. So, yeah, this, I mean, it's like your first town sounds too good to be true. And I know talking with you and being in the industry, it's not too good to be true. And so we definitely let's give your contact information, too. And everybody on this knows they can reach you through us as well.
Sure. So the name of our company is the Stephen J. Sless Group, and we are a division of Primary Residential Mortgage. Primary Residential Mortgage has, 350 branches nationwide. Our contact number is 410-814-7575. Again, that's 410-814-7575, or you can visit us at theslessgroup.com. It's the, T-H-E, Sless, S-L-E-S-S, group. And I would suggest, check us out on social media as well. We're always putting out informational and educational content. We have a very robust YouTube channel. If you just go to YouTube and you search the Stephen J. Sless Group, or just search my name, Stephen Sless, and all of our videos will come up. We have a video on every conceivable way to use a reverse mortgage. Funding long-term care with reverse mortgages, divorce, late-life divorce, and how to use a reverse mortgage to divide marital assets and to divide the equity in the marital home so both parties move forward amicably in divorce. Any way that you could use a reverse mortgage, we have a video on, and that's on our YouTube channel. So reach out.
I love it.
I'm happy to have a conversation with you. We have, like I said, we have representatives in every state except for New York. And we'd be happy to help.
I love it. It's just amazing. You just, it's just incredible. It's, and our rates are so good. And even unadjustable, is it 2%? Like, is it 2%? Can it go up or down 2% in so much time? Is it pretty much standard, like, or 2.5%?
Yeah, there are rate caps on the adjustable rate. So that it's a 5% lifetime cap and a 2% annual cap on the rate.
Excellent. I love it. All right. Lifetime caps. Perfect. So we are at the end of the show, and the next few minutes is for you to tell us any recap of anything you think is important. And this is really exciting, and the fact that you can help in all 49 states and still refer other places is huge, because I know how you are, and that you would have already vetted everybody, right? This is definitely a long time process in setting up your network the way you have. And I just appreciate you.
Oh, likewise. And I think, just in summary, look, if you haven't looked at reverse mortgages in a while, I think it's worth a second look. It may be worth a first look. There's a lot of folks that, I use my parents as an example. My parents took out their own reverse mortgage last summer, and they are somebody that never thought a reverse mortgage would be for them. But, we went through that educational journey with them and explained what retirement looks like using their largest asset and what retirement looks like without using that largest asset. And the day after they closed on the reverse mortgage, my dad retired. They live a better lifestyle now. Thank you. Yeah, they've been able to retrofit the home. They've been able to do some renovations. They've been able to travel a little bit. They're I think my parents look a lot like the average American retiree, right? They worked hard their whole life. They did all the right things. They saved, they invested, but at the end of the day, their largest asset is the equity that's sitting in that home. And it just makes sense to incorporate all your assets in retirement planning instead of just saying, these are my investments and this is my home equity. Incorporating it and marrying the two will create, in most cases, a much stronger, more bulletproof retirement plan. And that's what we're here for. And again, if it's not for you, we're going to be the first ones to tell you so.
You're so honest, and that makes such a difference. Integrity is the number one key to make sure. One question I forgot to ask was, you had mentioned in the beginning of the show about 55, because typically the age is 62. Something's changed that lets you do something at 55?
Yes, I'm glad we're closing on that. It's a great place to leave off and sets us up for the next interview on the next show as well. So,
awesome.
We mentioned FHA versus proprietary. So there's been a lot of innovation on the proprietary side, right? Non-government reverse mortgage loans, specifically with jumbo reverse mortgages. And so if you have a home in excess of the FHA government lending limit, which is $865,000 and some change, you can take out a jumbo reverse mortgage. And on jumbo reverse mortgages, we can lend down to age 55.
Really?
How powerful,
wow.
I mean, how crazy is that now? So these are no longer loans for seniors. These are loans.
Wow.
Because the way that the average American retires is vastly different today than it was even just 5 years ago.
Totally.
Home equity is a growing portion of their overall pool of assets. And so we're now able to make the home
absolutely.
Equity accessible to folks in some states. This isn't in all states. And so This is, again, it's a proprietary loan. It's not a government loan. It's not national. This product is available in probably 20, 25 states right now and growing. That's growing every day. But if you have a home
okay.
over $865,000, you may be able to take out a reverse mortgage today at age 55.
Now, does that, because it's not governmentally insured, and does that have any, it's still non-recourse, right?
Still non-recourse, still all the protection
okay.
of the government loan. It's just not a government-issued, government-insured loan. They're actually a lot cheaper to take out. The closing costs are far lower on a jumbo loan because you don't have the government involved, you know, and you don't have the government insurance involved. And so you can actually take out. I know we only have a couple minutes left. We had a jumbo client not too long ago, $5 million home. Took out $2.5 million in cash. This was during COVID. His goal was, I need to take out the cash. I need to keep my business afloat. He took out $2.5 million in cash, never has to make a mortgage payment on that money. And the closing costs were like $6,000. I mean, so
unbelievable.
Just very, 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 very innovative. You know, the innovation on the proprietary side of the business is evolving every day. And it's evolving to better fit the needs of today's soon to be retirees, and again, now these aren't even loans for seniors anymore. These are loans for middle-aged, you know, Americans that have a large portion of wealth built up in their home equity and don't have a way to access it that's going to be cash flow friendly. Now this product comes in and fills that void.
What a sense of peace. It's just amazing to me. It's just, I love it. I love it. I love it. Love it. So, yeah, well, we've got to get together. I want to go over with you separately, you know, some things for the national part of it as well, because we can refer out to a lot of our affiliates nationwide too that are, you know, meeting with people firsthand in their homes and businesses, et cetera. I just think there's so much education out there that many just do not know. They're not aware of what they can do, especially with all these different programs. Cool.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. Wow.
It was great to be back with you today. It's been too long. Let's do this again real soon. We always have a blast, and boy, did that hour fly by.
It always does with us. And, okay, so thank you, Stephen, and I'll be talking to you soon. So appreciate you. Have a happy holidays, and to everybody out there, I wish you peace.